Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York gubernatorial candidate Zephyr Teachout, a progressive Democrat. Ms. Teachout is also an associate professor of law at Fordham University. Before that, she was a visiting assistant professor at Duke University, a lecturer at the University of Vermont, and a non-resident fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. Professor Teachout's latest book, Corruption in America, From Ben Franklin's Snuffbox to Citizens United, is set for a September release. Welcome, Zephyr Teachout.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, you know, Zephyr, you're becoming a real favorite around here, and it's great that you show up and that you talk to us. Well, there was a major article in the New York Times. Maybe you could talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, this is a really important article. It shows that the top aide to Governor Andrew Cuomo was blocking investigations into close associates and friends of Governor Andrew Cuomo. And he was doing it by, there was a subpoena that was issued for a company that's been doing business with Andrew Cuomo, and the top aide, Larry Schwartz, said, pull back that subpoena. The subpoena was pulled back. This is a major violation of public trust, and everyone should read the article. It's what we really need to know is what Governor Andrew Cuomo knew and when he knew it about what his top aide was doing. Because if he knew or was directing Larry Schwartz to shield his friends and associates from corruption investigations, then he should resign.
Then the governor should resign, not Larry Schwartz?
Governor Andrew Cuomo should resign. I mean, the fact that Larry Schwartz hasn't already been fired is a problem. But Governor Andrew Cuomo should resign if he was directing the blocking of anti-corruption investigations into his own close friends and associates.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Andrew Cuomo sets up a Moreland Act commission, which he is allowed to do, I think, under a law from 1908, and allows him to go and look at corruption in government. He says that he's all about anti-corruption.
Well, let's just return to that moment.
Sure.
Because in that moment, you know, we don't yet know whether Governor Cuomo did anything illegal, but in that moment, he made a public commitment to the state of New York. He said that it was going to be an independent commission. We all know that we have a problem of corruption in Albany. So he said it's going to be an independent commission. He said that there was going to be no limits on what it could investigate. He said that New Yorkers could sleep better at night because they would know that corruption was finally being looked into. So when this news came out, that is a direct, again, if Governor Andrew Cuomo knew what was going on, that's a direct violation of those promises. But this is something bigger. This is part of a bigger problem now. Now, there was also a revelation last week that when Attorney General Andrew Cuomo had the power to prosecute the worst financial criminals, he gave immunity to another of his top aide's clients. Now, that top aide resigned fairly recently, perhaps because of that story. We don't know. But it's starting to seem like there's a pattern of the Cuomo administration acting as if it's above the law.
There is a general sense that even if this brouhaha becomes even bigger, that Governor Cuomo is so far ahead in all of the polls that, like Richard Nixon, when everybody knew about Watergate, he won't lose.
Look, this story is not going anywhere. You know, this story is so important, and people should read it, because those of us who've sort of been following closely what's happening with Andrew Cuomo know that this is part of a larger pattern. But most New Yorkers don't know it. So if he's ahead in the polls right now, it's because this story isn't out there. Right now, the more New Yorkers understand that their governor is not serving their interests, but serving the interests of big donors, of people who might help him in a presidential campaign or people who he might give him millions of dollars in campaign contributions, the more they are looking for an alternative. And this has real-life impacts. A lot of people want to understand why Governor Cuomo won't call for a ban on fracking. Well, maybe it's because there's over $1 million in pro-fracking interests that have been donated to his campaign. And what we know from this story is that, let's say the Moreland Commission was looking into these pro-fracking interests, Well, maybe the top aide would have said, stop the subpoena, don't investigate. So it's having real life impacts on our policy.
Into all of this comes the fighting U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, who, when the Moreland Act Commission was inexplicably sort of killed in the middle of its life, was obviously agitated and got all of the records and everything else. Do you suspect that something may come of that?
You know, I don't know. I'm really happy that there's an investigation ongoing because we do know that what he did was wrong. We don't yet know whether it was illegal. But it's really important that we have a true anti-corruption crusader in New York looking into this. Now, I've spent my life fighting corruption. I've spent my life fighting for democracy. And you have to understand that the more corruption you have, the less democracy you have. The more corruption you have, the harder it is for people's voices to be heard. And what I want to do is, actually, it's the same thing that Andrew Cuomo promised, but looking at my record, I can promise that I'll do it. I actually do want to come in and clean up New York and clean up Albany.
Which politician would you consider yourself most like? Would it be Liz Warren?
Well, I'm a great admirer of Elizabeth Warren, and I think she represents a new kind of politician. After the crash of 2008, the Democratic Party went in two different directions. One was sort of the big money corporate Democrats, but the other returned to the traditional Democratic values, and Elizabeth Warren really exemplifies that, as does Sherrod Brown. Bill de Blasio, you know, showing that there's strong progressive populist interest in politicians with really traditional Democratic values. And what we see happening and what my campaign is a part of and my governorship would be a part of is returning Democrats to these basic values of representing everybody, treating everybody as politically equal, taking on big power, actually taking on those who are close to power, instead of, like what we saw with this story today, using the office of governor to shield friends and associates from investigation.
Well, Zephyr Teachout, let me ask you this. You just referenced Bill de Blasio. Now, that was interesting. You were in a position to get the endorsement of the Working Families Party. Bill de Blasio is the guy who, and he's the great progressive, he's the guy who seemed to save it for Cuomo. That's a question.
You know, that's, at this point, that's ancient history. We've been running in a Democratic primary. I'm a Democrat.
Why is it ancient history?
I also ran, probably because over the last 5 weeks, ever since we launched our Democratic primary a week after the Working Families Party convention, we've been really focused on talking to Democrats in the state and listening to their concerns. And what I think is the most important thing is a real public debate about what it means to be a Democrat in New York, which is a deeply Democratic state. And then more than that, the possibility of having a truly Democratic governor. Now, Bill de Blasio chose to support Andrew Cuomo and the Working Families Party at that point, but there's a whole bunch of new revelations, and we're getting more and more support every day. I got to tell you something really interesting. After 1 month, more people donated to my campaign than people donated to Governor Andrew Cuomo's campaign in the last 6 months. Now, he had a lot more corporate donors, but if you're just looking at what people are interested in, we've already shown there's enormous grassroots support.
Now, you got 40,000, I believe, signatures to get you on the ballot.
Over 45,000.
45,000. Thanks for the correction. That's a lot of people. Now, you need 15,000 to get on the ballot. Do we think that the Cuomo forces are examining all those signatures?
Well, we know that Governor Cuomo is going to challenge my petitions.
How do we know that?
Well, I just heard from my lawyer that his lawyer is going to be challenging the petitions. We think he's going to challenge on residency grounds. I've been here over 5 years. Apparently, I sent in a contribution to Obama using my parents' address.
Oh, I see.
This is a frivolous challenge. I'm a New Yorker and I've lived here over 5 years. But
why would he do a frivolous challenge when in fact that would tick people off, wouldn't it?
Well, I think New Yorkers aren't so stupid. I think they're going to say, wait, what's going on here? Why is he trying to distract from the issues with a frivolous residency challenge? But, you know, obviously he's taking a different tack. What we see over and over again is the effort to sort of quash real dissent.
We saw you do an amazing thing. You got up in front of the Tweed Courthouse, a symbol of corruption in New York, and you held a press conference with Rob Astorino, who is 37 points or 36 points behind in the polls. You, the great progressive, which you are, and Astorino, the somewhat socially conservative Republican, basically, intellectually, I don't mean this in any other way, holding hands.
You know, I disagree with Rob Astorino on almost everything. I support a fracking ban. I support full funding of public education. I support the DREAM Act. I support all 10 points of the Women's Equality Act. I support all these traditional Democratic values. So you know that you have a problem with the governor of New York when we can agree on something. And the thing that we agree on is that he has failed in his promise of 4 years ago to clean up corruption in Albany.
Let me talk to you about Kathy Hochul, who has announced a women's equality ballot line. I know you've had something to say about it. Maybe this is a good time to repeat it.
Well, to be clear, Andrew Cuomo announced, I mean, he had Kathy Hochul do it, but Andrew Cuomo's campaign announced that they were starting a new party using the capacity in New York. In New York, you are allowed to start a true new political party. Well, this is not a true political party. It's a fake political party. It's called the Women's Equality Party. It's going to cost him at least $250,000 to start this party. And he's basically using $250,000 in his big corporate war chest to buy advertisement on the ballot line so he can have the name Andrew Cuomo next to the words Women's Equality Party. If he actually cared about the women's equality agenda, he could have done something very simple, which is fight for a Democratic Senate. Veto Republican gerrymandered lines. You know, right now it's this effort over and over again to use the power of office to get around the democratic process and manipulate the democratic process, but not directly engage in the democratic process. Today's revelations, though, take it to a whole other level. I mean, they're really shocking. Here you have his top aide, Larry Schwartz, firing off emails, getting angry, saying, how dare you, essentially, how dare you investigate the governor's close associates? I mean, this takes the use of power and the inappropriate use of power to a whole different level, and that certainly is beyond partisan lines.
Senator Schumer is now calling for open primaries. You know, you're an expert on all of this. What is an open primary, and are you for them or against them?
You know, it basically allows people from different parties to vote in a primary.
Yeah, we have it in Massachusetts.
And I think you have, yeah. And, you know, experiments in other states have shown that, you know, at a time when you have so many people really disaffected, people under 40 who, you know, don't necessarily register as a Democrat or Republican, don't feel that same kind of party loyalty, and it may allow for some shifting. You know, we have tectonic plates in party politics are shifting right now, and a lot of politicians are behind. They're still living in 1996. So it may allow for some shifting. But I'll tell you the reforms that I think are the most important. I don't think our problems right now are around partisanship. I think our problems right now are pretty basic. It's about money and politics. One of the oldest problems in a democracy is when too much money takes over the democratic process. And again, this story today suggests the ways in which that kind of money can really influence things. I supported Andrew Cuomo 4 years ago. I was really excited about his campaign. I loved his father. I thought, you know, here's somebody who's going to come and actually clean up corruption in Albany. And I believed him when he said, we have a root problem here, which is how campaigns are funded, and I'm going to fight for publicly funded elections.
Yeah, I was going to say, he says he's for funded elections, right?
Yes. Now, he has made that promise over and over and over again, and he keeps breaking it. And if you look at where he's getting his money, that may help explain why he keeps breaking it. He's getting over $6 million from corporations in a loophole that he once promised to close. So I think that we got to be really clear about what our priorities are in terms of taking on the political problems we have right now. And the core problem is a problem of money and politics. That's the problem. You know, and honestly, I'm a student of history. I've been focused on the history of the meaning of corruption for a long time. That's the problem the founding fathers were focused on. They were focused on the question of how are all the different ways that we can make sure that government is actually responsive instead of just responsive to a few wealthy people.
The New York State Senate, we now have more Democrats in the Senate than we have Republicans. We have more Democrats by a lot in the state. And yet the Republicans have controlled because of four or five so-called independent Democratic caucus.
Republicans have controlled in New York because of Andrew Cuomo. Let's be very clear. If Andrew Cuomo had vetoed the gerrymandered lines of a couple of years ago,
which he said he would do.
Which he promised he would do. Yeah. And it was an important promise because we have a Democratic state. So it's been a very busy day. We've gotten more attention today than we have in our whole tank campaign because I think people, you know, who have been very involved in politics are already hungry for an alternative, and the news today shows that more and more people are going to understand why we need an alternative in a Democratic primary. But what we're talking about before is the importance of of actually having a governor who fights for core Democratic values in a Democratic state. Now, why? The question is, why would a Democratic governor like Andrew Cuomo want a Republican, why would he want to work with Republicans? Why would he want Republican control? Well, there's two pretty simple answers. One is that it allows him to serve his donors' interests instead of the interests of the people of the state of New York, because he can blame the Republican obstructionism for why we can't actually do something about our social safety net or fund our schools better. It allows him to blame Republicans for why we can't pass the DREAM Act or Women's Equality Act. But the other reason may be presidential ambitions. You know, that there's always speculation about that, that he's concerned that if he was actually representing the people of the state of New York, that would get in the way of his capacity to run for higher office. But neither of those reasons relate to why, you know, what a governor has an obligation to do. A governor has an obligation to represent the people of his state.
Talk to me about police brutality. I know that, you know, as a law school professor, you have tremendous interest in this. Tell us where you're standing on that.
Yeah, well, I would first like to just talk about the criminal justice system more generally.
Sure.
I was a death penalty lawyer. I helped found a nonprofit called the Fair Trial Initiative, which trained young lawyers in how to represent people who are charged with capital crimes in North Carolina. And I've spent a lot of time in prisons and jails, and I've seen how, I guess I felt the intensity of what it is to be in a prison or in a jail. And I will tell you that we are putting far too many people, incarcerating far too many people right now, and it's happening in a discriminatory way. So when I look at the criminal justice system as a whole, there's a whole bunch of things we could do. One is we can decriminalize marijuana. And we know that's where New York State is, and Governor Andrew Cuomo had promised to make some moves towards decriminalization and medical marijuana, although the reform in that area was quite slight and seemed to be driven by a kind of political fear. It's still criminal for most people who use marijuana, and it's still going to continue to be used in a discriminatory way. Another thing we can do is look at all the people who we should be looking forward and backward, looking forward to reduce sentence length, especially for nonviolent crimes, and looking backward to say, well, we have so many people who are now stuck in prison who don't need to be there. We should be using clemency in a much more active way, and we should be looking at early release programs and helping people transition. For decades, politicians grandstanded on fear of crime. Decades. And there are so many casualties to that, and those, you know, that affects not just the people who are in prison, but their families. So that I think is the sort of the big picture, is that we want to move away from, you know, this kind of fear-mongering that really dominated politics for a long time.
Now, if you get to be governor, are you telling us that, you know, you'll exercise a lot more clemency than Andrew Cuomo has?
Yeah, I think it's an essential job of a governor is to have compassion, to really listen to the stories, to really understand that clemency, it's a really important power that you have and should be used carefully, but it's an essential power of an executive to, from time to time, you know, show real mercy on those who deserve it.
Talk to us a little bit, if you will, about the State Ethics Board has now approved a 90-day pre-election blackout on appearances and public service announcements by statewide officials. There are those people who think that Andrew Cuomo has used his statewide visibility to help himself electorally.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been a pretty good ad man. The state ends up running ads on his ethics commissions and running ads on his startup New York. And I think that, you know, the basic job of a governor is to govern. And in a big state like New York, I have a very particular vision of what a governor should do. I think the job of a governor is to lay out a very clear vision of the direction that we should be going in, hire the best people to implement that, and then fight hard to achieve that vision. Now, I and my running mate, Tim Wu, have a very clear vision. We know that we want to have an economy and democracy that works for everyone, not an economy and a democracy that just works for the wealthy and well-connected. We want to really focus on supporting small businesses, and we want to really focus on what we call a small business economy, you know, making sure that entrepreneurs from all over have the support they need to thrive, to be innovative. We also really want to focus on the best public education in the country. That's something that New York has always led on. Now, Governor Andrew Cuomo likes to run a lot of ads. The state does, advertising the success of the state under his leadership. But having said that, it's really hard to know what his real long-term vision is. You know, what's his vision? What does he see in 2020 New York? What does Bay Ridge look like? What does Poughkeepsie look like? And even in his efforts to use state funding for ads, we don't really get that vision of where we're going. And I think that's another a failure. It's not as serious a failure as the ethical violations that have come out recently. But, you know, the proverb says that when without vision, the people perish. And we need to have that vision. And New York is this history of extraordinary vision, of extraordinary forward thinkingness. And, you know, Tim and I have this vision of making New York the hub of 21st century transportation. We have a vision of opening up and having affordable internet for everyone. Both of us have a lot of experience in internet politics and policy, and we sort of feel like a lot of politicians don't really understand it. They treat it like an add-on instead of understanding that it's essential to how people live.
So when we first talked here, when you were in the studio with us, you thought that you could conceivably win this election. Do you still think so?
The big part of an election is usually the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But in this case, 6 weeks out, we have a big moment because finally the people of New York are going to see, with the New York Times story and all the fallout from that story, are going to see that their governor may or may not be working for them. Again, I think the key here in the next few days is to make sure that Andrew Cuomo answers questions about, you know, what he knew and when he knew it. But we've been getting a lot of attention the last couple of days, and we have, you know, revelations that suggest that what's happening in New York is really crony capitalism. And
okay,
I will tell you.
But let me interrupt real quickly. Is there anything that you have seen among the accusations, you say when he knew it, that could get him potentially indicted?
Well, here's where my being a lawyer and law professor is going to make me more cautious, because sure. I'm not ready to, and especially having represented people, I'm not ready to accuse anybody of a crime unless I really understand all the facts.
Well, do you see a crime?
Law.
Do you see a potential crime here?
So what I see is a crime against democracy. It's a crime against representation. I do not yet know whether it was anything illegal. But I do know that if he, in fact, knew that what Glaser was doing, actually stopping corruption investigations of top friends, if he knew that, he should resign, because that's the most basic violation of public trust. It may also be illegal. We won't know that for a little while. But as a political matter, it was wrong.
Zephyr Teachout, I just want to ask you one last question. The pollsters are all showing us Astorino versus Cuomo, but we haven't seen any polls about you and Cuomo in the primary. How come?
I'll be excited to see those polls, but we really just started campaigning about a week ago after we spent most of our energy getting on the ballot, really focused on the core grassroots so we could get over 45,000 signatures in the state. And our next step has been to reach out, we've been doing a lot of traveling, to reach out and let people know that we exist. And what we find is that once people know that there is a woman taking on Andrew Cuomo with a long history of anti-corruption activism, with a deep set of principles that are traditional democratic values, people get extremely excited. So our basic task is just getting known.
We are out of time. Our guest has been New York State gubernatorial candidate Zephyr Teachout. Professor, thanks so much for joining us again. Always welcome here.
It's always wonderful to be on the show, and thank you so much for having me.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.